Amen. Thank you, young people. Go ahead and take your Bibles this morning. I want you to look at two different places with me. I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5. And then when you find your spot there this morning, if you look at Hebrews chapter number 13. Hebrews chapter number 13. How many enjoyed your extra hour of sleep last night? And enjoyed that? Good. We're about to use it right now during the service. No, just kidding. We're really not. And I'm conscious of the time. But the Lord has something for us this morning. So if you'll pay attention fast, I will talk fast. No, we'll have a great time. Hebrews chapter number 13. If you stand your feet this morning, Hebrews chapter number 13. And we're going to look there in verses 20 and 21. Hebrews 13, verses number 20 and 21. The Bible says there, "Not the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant." Notice the beginning of verse number 21. "Make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Make you perfect in every good work to do His will. As we mentioned last week as we introduced this sermon series through video, that word perfect means to complete thoroughly, to repair, or to adjust. And God wants to work in our life. God wants to adjust our lives. God wants to get His hands into our life to help us be perfect. And I believe this morning we could take that word perfect and we could insert the word balance. God wants to help us balance out our lives. And how about you? This subject matter of balance in life is a very difficult thing. I brought a broom this morning. I'm going to use John Hoxie here for just a second. How many have ever balanced a broom on your hand? And it's always enjoyable. John, I told him he was going to be spinning a plate with a stick last night, so this is much easier than that. But John, I want you to balance that broom on your hand. And if you notice, see, balance is one of those things. It's a constant go back and forth. It's a constant correction, then an overcorrection, and then a correction here. Get your hand off of it. You see, in life, if we think about balance, making it difficult. If we think about balance in life, this is much how it is with us. Just when we think we've got it right, we start to lean one direction. We've got to correct and lean the other direction. And John's doing a pretty good job. But every now and then in life, somebody walks around and hits us a little bit. And they pop us. You know, the same thing is the case in our life. And if we're not careful, in the middle of our balance, in the middle of trying to keep all these things into perspective, in the middle of trying to be complete in life, the devil comes around and gives us a little nudge and knocks things out of balance. We'd like to talk about that this morning in search of balance. Let's pray. Lord, we love You. Thank You for loving us. Thank You for the opportunity to gather here this morning. And Lord, I just ask that You'd speak to our hearts. Lord, You know exactly what we as individuals need. And Holy Spirit, we know that we have to hear from You. We thank You for all the events in the morning. Thank You for the Lord's Supper. Thank You for the opportunity to take a moment and thank our veterans. Lord, thank You for those who gave us this freedom of being able to worship here this morning. And Lord, we don't want to take that lightly. And I pray that You bless the next few minutes as we look at Your Word and as we learn a truth from Your Word in this matter of balance. And we'll thank You and praise You for it. In Your precious name, amen. You may be seated. Imagine this morning that a bank credits your account with $86,400 every day. Wouldn't that be nice? What could you do with $86,400 every single day? Now, there's a catch in there. No balance can be carried over to the next day. So you have to spend that $86,400 every single day. And if you don't spend it, you lose it the next day. Now, I don't know about you, but if that were the case, there'd be long hours late at night on Amazon trying to figure out how to spend that $86,400. I don't know about you, but when I got off work and I found that I still had money there, if I knew I was going to lose it the next morning, I would go to the bank every single evening and withdraw that which I knew I was going to lose. You know, the truth this morning is that there is a bank account in our life that works just like that. It's the bank account of our time. And every day, God grants you 86,400 seconds. You can't keep it. You can't make more of it. That time is, to us, the most valuable commodity we have. See, time allows no overdraft. There's no going back for a second chance. We don't get a do-over in our time. There's no borrowing from tomorrow to add time to today. There's no leftover time. There's no replaced or recycled time. Time doesn't get recalled, and time can't be saved. The only thing we can do with our time is spend it. And once again, once it's spent, it's gone. God gives you and I 86,400 seconds to make it count for Him. The Bible talks a lot about time. The Bible says there's a time for everything. Ecclesiastes chapter number 3 says this: to everything there is a season, a time to every purpose under the heaven. Later on, as you look at the next 8 verses, it's going to talk about there's a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plan, a time to reap what you've planted, a time to go to war, and a time for peace. And it lists numerous different areas there, but the Bible teaching us that everything occupies those 86,400 minutes that you and I get the privilege to have every day. Though, the Bible also encourages us in the same book that if we only get time, if we only get that allotted time, to make the most of that time. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 tells us, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy, help me out, might. Why would we do everything we have with our might? Because the rest of the verse says this: for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. The Bible teaches us that everything takes place, or everything takes up our time, but we're to do everything in that amount of time with all our might, because we never get that moment again. We never get that opportunity again. The Bible also teaches us that one day our time is going to run out. One day we will have no more time. Psalm chapter 39, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. In chapter 90, the psalmist goes on to say this in verse number 10, the days of our years are 80 years and 10, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. And because of this, he writes in verse number 12, don't miss this, he says, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. He says, because those days are going to run out on us, teach us then to, Lord, to may help us make the most out of the time that you give us here on earth. The truth then is this: I must give my time to the most important things in life. Or I must learn how to have balance in life. I told you to turn to Ephesians chapter number 5. I'd like you to look over there with me. Ephesians chapter number 5. And very honestly, if you wanted to do a Bible study on the subject matter of time, I would look at Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to look at just 3 verses here this morning in this chapter, and I believe we could pull some truths out of these verses that could help us in this matter of balancing our time. Look there with me in verse number 15. The Bible says this: See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And as I read those verses, the Lord taught me a couple things about this balance of our time. First of all, if you look there with me at verse 15, the Bible says this: see then that ye walk circumspectly. What does that word circumspectly mean? The word means exactly. It means diligently or perfect. We use the term circumference, or to look around something. And God says that we're to walk circumspectly, or we're to walk paying attention to everything else going on around us. And the Lord spoke to me about this. Number one, I jotted down, I must pay attention to the most important things in life. When it comes to balancing my life, I must give time to the things that which are most important in life. Now, I'm going to use your help this morning. I want you to help me think of what is the most important thing, or some of the most important things in life. In just a second, I'm going to count to 3, and I'm going to have you tell me one of those important things. I believe there's multiple things in life that consider to be important, but I want you to just talk to me just a second. I want you to tell me one of them. You ready? You got it in your mind? All right, here we go on the count of 3. 3, 2, 1. You know what? There was a host of different answers this morning. And I believe this, every single one of those were probably important. Every single one of those. I heard family. There's been times in my marriage where my wife has said this, honey, I need some time. I need some time. You know what that means? Steve, line up a babysitter and you need to take me out. But you know what? My marriage, it needs time. There's been times where my daughter, Krista, has grabbed my face, and it's probably while I was watching a football game. Like that Michigan game yesterday. That was pretty good. By the way, they won. And there was that Oregon game on last night, and never mind. But there's been times where I was watching a football game or a basketball game on television, and my daughter grabbed my face just like this right here, and she slowly brought it over to in front of her face. And she said, "Daddy, I want to spend some with you. I want to spend some time with you." But you know what? As important as, you know, spending time with our spouses and marriage, it's got to have time. And our children have to have time. You know, our kids need time. I've had so many just wise adults tell my wife and I, as we have a 6-year-old and a 4-year-old and a 6-week-old, they say, "Steve, listen, pretty soon that time is going to be gone." They've said this, "Steve, you only have so much time with those kids. So therefore, if I'm going to walk circumspectly, I'm going to pay attention to the most important things in life. My job has to take time." But you know, this morning, God also wants our time as well. God also wants our time as well. The Bible says in James chapter 4, "Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy?" Before that, it talks about making a choice between the world's things and God's things. And God says when we make the choice to do the world's things instead of God's things, that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit inside of us, gets jealous of our time. God wants time with you and I. And so therefore, he follows it up in verse number 8, "Draw nigh to God, and God will draw nigh to you." Not only do I see, though, I must pay attention to the most important things in life, but look there with me at verse number 16. The Bible says this, "Redeeming the time because the days are evil." Redeeming the time because the days are evil. That word redeeming means to buy up. In turn, it'd be just like a ransom. Figuratively speaking, you say it would be to rescue from loss. And God says here, he's teaching me, he says, not only do I need to make sure I understand what's the most important things in life, but I need to be very careful to not waste time on things that aren't the most important thing. I need to be wise in rescuing the time from things that are not as important. Now, just as we said some important things, I want you to help me out very quickly this morning. I want you to think of something that in your life would be a waste of time or would take time from the most important things in life. You got it? Okay, here we go. I'm watching Skip's kind of head turn just a little bit. Smoke's starting to rise. Here we go. I want you to help me out on the count of three. Tell me something that is a time waster. It's going to take time from the most important things. Here we go. 3, 2, 1. You know, there's a bunch of different things. I brought some of my things this morning that hurt me. I love this one. La. You know, if I'm not careful, this becomes a time waster in my life. If I'm not careful, this takes time from things that are most important. Now, is it inherently bad? No. I don't think there's anything wrong with sitting down and watching a game here and there or enjoying something. We DVR everything in our house, and I love you. You can watch it commercial free. It's much faster that way. You get rid of a bunch of the junk. But you know what? If I'm not careful, though, even a good thing on television becomes something that I waste time with. I don't know about you, but I think I heard some of you say that. You know, there's something else I brought with me this morning. Here it is. A time waster right there. Man, and I love it. You know, it does. It keeps me in communication with the people I love and the people I work with, and helps, you know, my emails and all that stuff. But this thing has other stuff. It has games on it. It has games. Yes, it has Netflix. Come on. And it has this thing on here called, what's that word? Facebook. It has, I love Facebook. And YouTube? Woo! But watch this. If I'm not careful, this can be a time waster. If I'm not careful after moments of playing games, I can neglect more important things in life. And God tells me here in this verse, he says, redeem the time, or you need to find the things in life that you need to buy back the time so you can use it for the most important areas in life. Not only that, I see in this matter of redeeming the time, the Lord spoke to my heart about this. I must strive to give proper time to the important things. I must be willing to take time from some things to give them to the most important things. And lastly this morning, look there with me at verse number 17. Wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now don't miss this, because I'm going to walk circumspectly or pay attention to those most important things around my life. And because I'm going to redeem my time or not give my time to something that is of no value, if that's going to be the case, wherefore, because of that, being not unwise, but understanding. Who's going to help me? Understanding what the will of the Lord is. How do I know what's the most important things in life? How do I know what needs my time and what I can lay off, what does not need my time? How do I know it's going to be a time waster or what needs to be something I'm going to apply my time to? God's word says right there, wherefore, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. When we read in Hebrews chapter 13, who was the one who was helping us become perfect in every good work to do his will? It was the Lord. Therefore, if I'm going to pay attention to what's most important and get rid of those things that are of least important, I must understand what the will of the Lord is. How do I do that? How do I know what God's will is? I must then spend time with him. This is a big case. God needs his time. But more importantly, I need time with God. I brought my charger here. How many have a weed eater at home, something to edge your lawn or something like that? How many have those wonderful things? My lawn in the backyard, it's so small that I got one of those chargeable battery ones, and I can charge this thing and I can get six trims out of one charge. It's pretty awesome. But you know what? That seventh charge always comes along. You know, that seventh time you go through and it dies right in the middle. And you're going along the edge and it's done. Remember a couple weeks ago, I was out trimming the edge of the lawn, and right in the middle of it, it ran out. So I thought, just at the most inconvenient time, we have people coming over here in just a little bit. I've got to get this thing done. And so I took the battery off and I ran to the charger and I stuck it in the charger. And I'm timing, you know, impatiently. All right, hurry up, charge, 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 charge. I left it on there for about 5 minutes. I thought, well, that would be good. And grabbed it, ran over, stuck it in, began. I got about 10 feet and zzz, 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 zzz. And for the next hour, I was going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, because I didn't have my battery charged. You know, sometimes it's the case with you and I as well. We wonder why we can't go all day without falling for a temptation. We wonder why that situation at work arises and we respond that we knew we wanted to handle it the right way, but we didn't. You know, many times it's because we have not been properly charged into God. We've not spent enough time. 1 minute with God, yeah, that was great. For me, it lasted about 1 hour. Then I needed a little bit more. But if we're not careful, we rob God of the time that he needs to recharge our life. We rob God of the opportunity to spend time with us and for us to spend time with him. You must stay on the charger long enough. You must give God his time. Romans chapter 13, verse number 11 says, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. That night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting, drunkenness, nor in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. How have you spent your time? You know, the great part is if we're here this morning, God has more time for us. Maybe we've wasted time in our life. We have the opportunity now, though, to redeem some of that time, to walk circumspectly, to pay attention to what God's will is for our life, and to make the most of the time that God gave us. Let me close with this morning. James chapter 4 says this, go you to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know what not shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and vanisheth away. Because we don't know how much time we have, let me just say this morning, the most important decision that you can make today is to make sure you know Christ as your personal Savior. If we don't know how much time we have, tomorrow could be the last second that we have the opportunity to be here on earth. Let me ask you this, if you're here this morning and you don't know for sure Christ is your Heavenly Father, you don't know for sure you'd spend eternity in heaven, there's no better time than right now to trust Him as your personal Savior. Amen.